Hallelujah. Let's pray that desire right now. Let's just pray it together. Hallelujah. We want it, Lord. We want it. Let a passion and a love for you, let it burn in our lives, in our soul. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you may be seated.
Has struck Southern California, and this time it is a 6.9 magnitude quake hitting just after 8 o'clock local time. As far as we know at this hour, there have been no immediate reports of any injuries or damage, but you're watching video from the aftermath of moments after that quake started shaking, panicking a lot of people on the ground there. You can see people running out of what looks like a store out into the parking lot where it is a lot safer. And again, no injuries reported so far, and no damage reported either. So the
two gone here in the fourth for Kike Hernandez. And the shaking that you're seeing in the cameras and that we're feeling here at Dodger Stadium, I think we got another earthquake.
Yep, we definitely have an earthquake going on. It's a pretty good one, too. People in the upper deck are moving a little bit.
I would not want to be sitting one of the first rows of the upper deck. I guess we kind of are. .4 magnitude the other day. How are they continuing to play baseball?
I don't understand how the players can't feel it. Or maybe it's feel it more the higher up you are.
American 11 Heavy, Boston Tower, taxi 2, runway 48 via Bravo and monitor the tower 11.1.
On the morning of September the 11th, 2001, air traffic controllers in Boston start another busy day.
US Air 1995, cleared for takeoff.
Herndon, Virginia, at the command center of the Federal Aviation Administration, news of the hijack still hasn't broken. With overriding control of the skies above America, they will need to coordinate any response. Starting his first day in charge of the operations floor is Ben Sliney.
The day was brilliant. It was absolutely clear, no wind problems. There was no weather at all from Maine to Florida. And I said to myself, well, that's going to be a real easy first day. I had prepared myself.
Ladies, two of us in this office. We're not ready to die, but it's getting bad. I understand that.
Hello?
Hello. We're looking at the financial center. To three of us, two broken windows.
Oh, God!
Moments before the coming of the Lord, things will all appear normal. It did in Noah's day, moments before the rain fell on the earth, the people, and the ark. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, just before the sending of the fire, Sodom's citizens were sinning and were brazenly sinning. It was business as usual until fire, brimstone, ash, and melting heat began to descend upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, drank, bought, sold, planted, builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Writing in a similar fashion and telling some of these same accounts, Matthew wraps up his account in 24 and 42 and says, watch or be aware or be alert, therefore. For you know not what hour your Lord does come. It is so important to be ready for the coming of the Lord. It's important for the sake of this life to be filled with His Spirit, to be cleansed of our sin, to have repentance and forgiveness granted through that repentance for this life in and of itself, so that you can genuinely enjoy the remainder of your life here. Because living with Jesus and Jesus living with us means abundant and worthwhile and a blessed life. It is not only a blessed life, it is the best life. But not only for the sake of this life, but it's important for the sake of eternity. It's so important that a person repent of their sin. And I'll just narrow it down a little more personal for anyone today that needs the forgiveness of God or needs to repent. It's important that you repent today. I can't predict the coming of the Lord. I cannot predict the final effort or the final opportunity that you will have. But I can follow the leading of the Spirit, and I can give the instruction that I feel so very pressed to give today. That you can repent today. You should and you must repent, which means to turn around and go the other way. And the Lord does forgive. He said, except a person repent, they will perish. And then another place, the writer said, God commands people everywhere to repent. It is important to be ready by being born again. It helps to give us our seal and our ticket into eternity. This is more than just some Pentecostal or apostolic message. It is that. But it is the way and the truth and the life. To be born again of the water, which means to be baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus and allow Him to wash away all of your sin. And again, I appeal, if you have not, today is the day to do it. And then to be filled with His Spirit, as John 3 records from the mouth of Jesus. To be filled with His Spirit is certainly all important. To receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God's ready to fill people with His Spirit. Please do not think the misleading thought of when God is ready to do it. He is ready. He wants to fill you this very moment. God is ready to fill you with His Spirit at this very moment. And it's important that you are in order to be able to enter the kingdom of God or go into heaven. I must tell you today, I must tell you, there aren't many ways to salvation. Jesus is the way. And He described it. We must be born again of water and Spirit. And then, of course, it's so important to be ready by, after that experience, continuing to live per His commandments, His principles, His values, His truths, His holiness of life and conduct and behavior and dress and conversation. There are some very definite, specific reasons that Jesus addresses the issue of being aware. He addresses awareness in the Scripture. In Luke 21 and 34, He says, take heed to yourselves. In other words, examine yourself. Stop. Think about where you are in your spiritual relationship and status with God. And He was talking to disciples at this time. So not only is this a message to those who may not know much about the Lord, but it's a message to everybody. Take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts are overcharged with surfeiting drunkenness, the cares of this life. And watch the warning about being aware. So that that day, Jesus knew that it is so possible for us to live in a state of being unaware of the coming, of His coming. And then in Revelation, the Lord gives the warning to the church at Sardis. He says, be watchful, be alert and be aware. Strengthen the things, strengthen the spiritual attitudes and disciplines and practices and behaviors that you are already living. Strengthen those things that remain, because some of them may be ready to die. If there is anything waning in your spiritual life today, this admonition tells us, resurrect it by a prayer meeting. Resurrect it by a new and a fresh consecration. None of us have lived for the Lord so long that we do not need to reconsecrate today, and in fact every day. Remember therefore how you have received and heard. And here He says, hold fast. Get a hold of your relationship with God. Get a hold of your prayer life. Get a hold of your repentance. Get a hold of the word and the truths of God that you have loved and that you have believed and that you have been taught and that you have preached to you even this very message. Get a hold, hold fast, and do any repenting that is necessary. If therefore you will not watch, if you are not aware, I will come on you as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Jesus is trying to shake those people and all of us. Hear me, APC and guests. The Lord is trying to shake us out of a slumber and a sleep and an unawareness, that we would be aware that He can still come. We do still believe in the imminent or the very soon return of the Lord, to be ready not only for heaven, as I said, to be ready for the remainder of this life. Here's some reasons that Jesus addressed. These won't be all of them, but it's so important to remain aware, and I'm just going to list a few reasons. First, because of unbelief. You have probably met individuals, you have probably read situations or read articles. We would have to admit there is much unbelief of the Bible in total, God's plan, and especially the second coming or the end of the age. Now, there is a lot of belief there, but there is also a lot of unbelief. And you know, you can hear enough unbelief about who God is and what this relationship is, just the existence of God. You can hear enough unbelief that it can poison your belief system. And somebody that has believed in God and heard about a God all of their life can begin to think, I wonder if there really is a God. Here's the reason Jesus gave this awareness alert. That was because there is so much unbelief. And when there is belief, sometimes it is not aligned with God's plan. But then if somebody tries to start believing, if there's a measure of belief, many times it's offset by doubts. Maybe phrased like this: is that really going to happen? Or statements like, this sounds so far-fetched. Or, I've heard messages like this one before. Doubt tries to eat away like a cancer at the healthy cells of belief. The second reason Jesus addressed it is because of opinions. Popular opinions, typical human opinions, common and even influential opinions. Here's what we know. Human opinions are oftentimes not God's opinions. And His opinion is really what matters. Human opinions are not God's. And sometimes we hear from persons that God has not designated as our spiritual authority, our leader, our influencer. He has not placed them in our life. And they tend to muffle down the voice of spiritual authority, whether it be a parent or a pastor or any other kind of a leader. Those opinions seem to muffle and cover the voice of God and His Word directly from His Word or through the vessel of His people. We may listen to and be influenced by something or somebody because it is popular or because they are influential. Many things can be a matter of opinion. I will admit that. Up until God's Word states it. We're welcome to our opinion. And you can have it in alignment with God or in opposition to God. It is a free country. We do have free human will. But God has given us some awareness, warnings, and alert to be careful about the opinions, no matter how popular, no matter how educated, no matter how much they have in this life. There is no opinion that goes above this opinion. And if your faith is wavering in this Bible, pray and ask the Lord. And all of us will join with you to pray that there is a restoration. There should not be one question. There must not be one question. We don't have all of the answers, but just trust God. People get so caught up in trying to have all of the answers that they end up with more questions than they started with. When simply put, sometimes we're not going to know all of the answers. And I know that sounds like an out. That sounds like he's using an out. No, I'm using trust in God. Bring us back to a faith that there is a God, that there is a salvation plan, that there is a second coming, there is a rapture of the church, there is a heaven and there is a hell, and God, there is a God who loves us, and there is a Calvary which is still effective. Another reason that Jesus addressed unawareness. We can be unaware because of misplacing our priorities. Take those first two categories of belief or unbelief out of the picture and human opinion. For others, when they truly stop, and this might be the case here in this room today, when we truly stop and consider eternity, His coming, and the Bible, they not only believe that it's going to happen, they know it's going to happen. Yet, living in this temporal world allows this temporal mindset to claim our values and our behaviors and our priorities. And so, those persons begin to live by temporal or natural or selfish values. They're made unaware because of misplaced priorities. And their priorities do not reflect the commandments of God or a lifestyle that leads to heaven. Paul and God remind us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. We live today, everybody in this room lives on two planes. The temporal and the eternal. Paul talked about it, the things that we can see. It's not so hard to be convinced about the things that we can see, the temporal, the things that we can prove because we see them. We live in the temporal, but also we are all eternal souls. A person that believes in God is an eternal soul. The person that does not believe in God or is doubting that there's a God is an eternal soul. There's no question we live in two planes. And that eternal plane is what is unseen. That's why it's more difficult to be convinced about the coming of the Lord, because we haven't seen it yet. It's a little more difficult to be convinced about heaven, because we've seen the city of St. Louis, but we've not seen the city New Jerusalem. And so that eternal plane, that unseen plane, makes it a little more difficult. And it's that difficulty that catches people and causes them to feel that they can continue to live as they desire and not have to really make preparations for a rapture, a heaven, a hell, and eternity. There is the visible and the invisible. We humans, and this is a good thing in some ways, we like to compartmentalize. That's why label makers and organization plastic boxes and software sells well, because we like to compartmentalize. If left to our human default, even we as apostolic believers will do the same thing spiritually, i.e., do church on Sunday and Wednesday, and then on with the rest of the week, and that's our Jesus fix for the week. But we must not compartmentalize the eternal and the temporal. The reality is we live in both right now. And here is the truth. If we're paying attention to the eternal, our temporary life will show it. If we are paying attention to heaven or hell, how we live, how we talk, how we behave will show it. Living in the light of Jesus could come at any moment should make a difference in our behavior and our values and our lifestyle. The fourth reason that Jesus addresses being aware versus being unaware is because of the normal, familiar, the predictable conditions. Because he's a God of free will, he's chosen the plan that everything during the month of his coming, during the week of his coming, the very day and the very hour of his coming is likely to be so very normal and typical. You heard the documentary. You heard the man who was starting his first day. No wind, no weather conditions. This is going to be a good day to start my new job involving air traffic control. That's the way that day started. The day of his coming, the minutes, the last few minutes before his coming, will be so predictable, familiar, and normal. And they will camouflage the sudden, the moment, the twinkling of an eye, the unpredictable events that are about to occur, the rapture, family members missing, friends missing, the common, the predictable, the familiar. It will even cause people to explain away what has just happened, should they remain. The sudden panic, the desperation, and then the depression. And then for those who believed and knew but were caught unaware, that uncanny sense in the depth of your being, I've missed it. Because of those familiar conditions, it's going to give the individuals just prior to his coming, the week, the days, the hours, the minutes, the false impression and the mistaken idea that it's okay, go ahead and live according to your own values. Go ahead and live according to your own belief system or a belief system that somebody has talked you into. Go ahead and doubt God's requirement or expectation or standards. Go ahead and live in self-centered, interest, being apathetic or lethargic about spiritual disciplines or spiritual readiness. The anesthesia of the routine, all things continuing as they are, will sedate spiritually until we will not respond to His word. We will not respond to the signs of the times in order to be ready. For the majority, if not all of us, if we're alive and remaining, it will be business as usual. You saw it happen in Dodger Stadium. The second earthquake on Friday, July 5th, after one on July 4th. The commentator said, I don't know how they're continuing to play ball. It's business as usual. We got another inning coming up. We got a batter at the plate. We've got a lineup to follow. We've got a schedule to fulfill. And he commented that people were beginning to move away from the edges of the upper deck. I don't blame them. And then it dawned on him, that's where they were. Normal, predictable. The pastor, see, that wasn't the end of all things. That proves that we may get scared a little bit, but there's, I'm going to tell you, the word of the Lord proves that there is coming a day. And that anesthesia works on us and deadens us and sedates us to where I've read it in history. I got to thinking about it this week. I don't know if it's our culture or all of the good things that we're able to enjoy. And so we do have less needs. But you read about people streaming to altars when the Spirit of the Lord fell in a service or came upon the spokesman. But because everything continues as it has sedated us to where. But you know what? There'll be somebody that runs. They'll be the last one that ever runs to an altar, if there is any running anymore to an altar. Or there will be a day where there will be the last person who comes down to an altar or bows and kneels where they are. Eternity is going to be worth everything we give to God. I believe God is trying to counteract the anesthesia of the routine in this very service today. Those things that I listed, opinions and a belief and normal conditions, they're going to mislead people. They're going to fool people. And so it's going to be business as usual. There will be, hear me everybody, there will be the same prayerfulness or the same prayerlessness. There will be the same faithfulness and there will be the same unfaithfulness. People will do what they have done as they have prioritized God. And they'll be in the house of God and they'll be in their prayer time and they'll be in the Word of God. But there will also be the same unfaithfulness happening. It could be that we are so used to something shaking us and awakening us, which some of those events did. But for only a time. We're so used to that we feel like maybe that's how God is going to do it. But according to His word, it's not how He's going to do it. It's going to be business as usual, a typical Sunday or Monday or whatever day the Lord chooses to come. And so the appeal today is don't wait for something. A tragedy. A great blessing, There's enough Spirit of God and there's been enough word preached already. Don't wait for some change of mind. Let the Spirit change your mind. Let the Word of God change your mind and your thoughts. When I feel like it, there'll be the same kind of love or the same kind of bitterness or grudges or hatred. It's not going to dramatically change. The last week, the last day, only by somebody repenting. But there's not going to be some sudden sign from heaven said you better get that hatred out of your heart. You better get that bitterness out of your heart. You better get that grudge out of your life. There will be the same good, healthy marriage relationships happening or the same unhealthy, selfish, unfaithful relationship happening. Keep your marriage preserved according to Scripture. Keep your love and be faithful to one another. God is trying to help avoid all of that prayerlessness and unfaithfulness. He's trying to help us avoid that. And so I say today, stay prayerful. Keep fasting. Remain faithful to God, His values, His truth, His holiness. Remain faithful to the church and the kingdom. Stay involved in serving the Lord. This is no time to sit back or lay down on a gifting or a talent. Listen, your time that you feel like you can't give to church attendance and kingdom involvements, that time is not more valuable than your eternity. Keep worshiping. Don't settle down. Don't be intimidated by others. Don't be intimidated by a lack of worship or a cynicism or a criticism. And keep worshiping. Worship Him in the good times and worship Him in the hard times. Stay faithful to your family, to your marriage, to your children, to your parents, to your siblings. Don't be left wishing, I wish I would have done more or done differently. Hear me today. Don't be left wishing, I wish I would have done more. Please don't ignore this admonition right here. It lodged in my spirit for several days. It sounded like He's just trying to alarm or scare or be dramatic or like hyperbole. But trust me now. You will live it someday. You will live your decision that you decide this morning. And so here's what's possible. I don't want to say this, but I got to be honest, even likely after this message. There will be this strong magnetic-like tendency to stay with your common carnal routine, settle back into that routine. And I realize now, I know, with faith, courage, the strength of the word of the Lord, but I must offer this to you. If the normal response prevails this morning, there will be a percentage of persons who either will not pray. Pastor, you're coming down pretty straight. We can't afford. I can let the routine and the opinions, and there are opinions about messages like this. I realize it. We can't afford because eternity is so real and too real. The normal response will not pray or will choose to continue with unchanged value systems, priorities, your scheduled attendance choices, your holiness choices. But I have prayed and I've asked and I've believed God. I'm not coming to you without faith and with a hopelessness. For your response of drawing even closer to Him. and to make any changes necessary. Here's the truth. This very service, the last few minutes of this service, the altar call, could serve as a snapshot of your mindset toward His coming. Just a snapshot, that's all. But it's real. His coming, your eternity, how you feel about it, your willingness to get ready, willingness to stay ready, and willingness to help others to be ready. And see the importance of being saved. I encourage you today, hold on to an awareness that God has dropped into this service today, that Jesus Christ could return at any time. Would you stand together, please? And I'm opening this entire sanctuary for a prayer room. You can come to the altar. You can kneel where you are. But the important thing is to pray and to make ourselves ready, make our calling and election sure. Don't depend on somebody else, but only depend upon God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence that is here, and thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, and I thank you for the hope of your coming. But I thank you for a plan and a way and a mercy and goodness and grace that makes it possible for us to be saved. Saved for the remainder of our life here, but then saved for eternity. Saved so that we can help save others. Stir us now, O Lord, I pray, but more than that, change us, O God. Let the reality set in. I pray for awareness that only you can bring, God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. And I know that you can only stand and knock at the door. I pray now, Lord, for the response of the opening of a door. The opening of a door. Yes. Yes, yes. You're the God of change. You're the God of transformation, which means not only a life, but it includes a mindset. Forgive us, O Lord, I pray. Forgive us for any mindset that has declassed your coming. Help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. Oh, God, alert us. Make us aware, oh God, of your mercy and your grace and the things that you value and that you deem as important. Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. I thank you for your voice. I thank you for your name. I thank you for the way and the refuge of salvation. I thank you, O Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Whatever needs to be cleansed, let there be a cleansing. Let there be a cleansing prayer. Let there be a priority-setting prayer today. Oh, God. Let there be intercessory prayer today. Oh, yes. 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 Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we cannot track you, we trust you. When we cannot feel you, we trust you. When we do not understand you, we trust you, O Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh.
big, deep, interpersonal change. Oh, God. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Up to our hearts. Go to the depth of us, Lord. Go to the depth of us. Let there be heart changes. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, God.
like walking uphill and walking against the current. It is true. But he's going to have a church. He's going to have a bride. In this last hour, Ephesians says he's going to present it unto himself. We can make the choice to be a part of that church. His bride that is going to be adorned and ready to meet him. If you wish to pray for a loved one, I want us just to lift hands right now representing whoever that is that may be on your heart, and maybe there's not a specific name, but you just want to pray for the lost. I want us to pray right now for those that need to be made aware and that their awareness to be sharpened. Oh, Lord, I pray right now. Oh, these are the people certainly that we love and that we know. But you love them more than we love them, oh God. Between those two loves, that there be a calling and a desperation and an intercession, oh God. Oh, yes, God. Oh, yes. Go ahead, call it out before the Lord. This is his purpose. This is his direction. Go ahead. Yes, Lord. Stir them. You're able to change them, oh God. You're able to change their minds and change what they love. You're able to change. Yes. Talk to them. Lay yourself across their pathway, God. Oh, that's right. Lay yourself across their pathway, Lord. Where at least, whether or not they stop, let there be an acknowledgement that you're there. Yes, yes. Let them know. Oh, God. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes. Touch the Lord. You love them, oh God. You love them, oh God. You love them, oh God. Go ahead. Go ahead. Intercession works. God works because God loves and God reaches. God's hearing it. God, I believe this is what you have waited for right here. This is one of the moments. This is one of the prayers that you have waited for, oh God. And I know in your faithfulness because you love them. You want them saved more than we want them saved. Help us to do what we should do in our lifestyle, our belief system, our priorities.
God has allowed his plan to work. And this is true about any service. What happens in the service is certainly very, very, very important. But the true reality is what happens after the service as we walk in life and into our lifestyle. It is more than just a Jesus fix. It's a relationship with him where we keep him in first view. I want us to just thank the Lord for his mercy, his goodness. Would you stand together and would you just thank the Lord? It's his goodness that leads us to any kind of repentance. And it's happened here today. Your goodness has happened and repentance has happened, Lord. Thank you for your reminders in your word. Thank you for all of those chapters and those verses. Thank you for preserving them so that we could hear and read and be alert and be warned. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your spirit that convicts us and directs us and corrects us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We owe him great thanks, church. That's right. I feel it coming from the sincerity. God, oh yeah. God, it's by your grace. It's your goodness. For some of us, we've heard this all of our lives. Those of you that were raised in the church, we've heard it all of our lives. It could be a blessing, that could be a curse. I want it to be a blessing. I want it to come ringing back about the coming of the Lord. We've been praying for our International Youth Congress that is getting ready to take place, and we'll be praying tonight for that. It begins this Wednesday. There will be services here, prayer meeting Tuesday, Wednesday night service. But several will be going to, especially our young people going to North American Youth Congress. And it'll be a wonderful thing. Some 32,000, 34,000, 35,000 plus apostolics, or at least their guests and apostolics coming. And the city of St. Louis is going to be blessed by that. But we want God's direction and God's plan and God's will in every service and protection upon all those coming. Bible quizzing is already happening. It's out where we have youth convention at that venue there, and already hundreds of young people are in town. And between the General Youth Division and the Missouri District, they're making a real effort to touch our city, and so they're contacting people, and there are special little invite cards that have been made where people are going to be able to be contacted, and they can submit a request, and they're going to be referred to churches in the area. Last night about 9:30, I got the first email from the coordinators of this, and there were three names of people that have already, Youth Congress hadn't even started, and already folks are being witnessed to. Sherry, Ebony, and Terry are the first names. That's the names that were given to us along with their email. And asking for prayer. Each of them had different kind of needs. We're going to pray for them in just a moment. And that's going to be happening all throughout the week. So who knows how many people are going to be touched and impacted. And we want to be there for those that are going to be referred to us during this next week. So would you be prayerful for those individuals? Why don't we just pray for those three right now, Lord? We're asking for your touch to Ebony and to Sherry, to Terry. I pray your touch to them, Jesus. I pray, oh Lord, whatever that need is, whatever that need is. God, this is your wisdom. This is your will. This is your direction. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Touch them. Thank you for your love for them, God. And I pray that you would bless this youth congress. Brother Brad and our outlet students that will be attending. Let your anointing, let your direction. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's an impressive sight. We were able to attend a couple of years ago to see that many apostolics, younger generation apostolics, and some of us old ones that sneak in to see that number of people. A little taste of heaven. A little taste of heaven. I thank God for our student ministry, don't you? Thank you, Philip Bradley. Lorenzo preached a wonderful message last Sunday night. Brother Thomas and Sister Sarah, in a short time, we don't know what time, because there's some things pending, but they are headed to Baltimore to help in the church there where Brother David Reaver pastors. Now, it's not going to happen immediately. We get to hold on to them for a little while longer, and we'll have in one of their final services a good special time of prayer for them. But be praying, because they need to receive jobs, and they need to receive housing. But they're going to serve in several ministerial areas of the church and be a great blessing to Brother and Sister Reaver as they have been here at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. So he's announcing it up there, and we're announcing it down here. So go wild, Facebook, or whatever. Now be careful how you word it. I know you will. We're not happy that they're going. But we're happy they're in the will of God, and happy the hand of the Lord is upon them. Thank the Lord. He's a good God to us, isn't he? We love that couple right there. We love them. Let's just do a prayer for them before we leave today. Lord, your direction, your provision, your anointing is already upon their lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And we're asking for your provision, job, residence, anointing, and direction. God, you're going to bless Abundant Life Church, and you're going to bless Apostolic Pentecostal Church. Thank you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. And you're dismissed in the name of the Lord. God bless you for your sensitivity to him.